You know, I have to admit, every time I hear a certain phrase, my heart closes up. It's probably because I'm a natural skeptic. This is the secret, okay? Every time I hear that, this is the secret to long life. This is the secret to happiness. This is the secret to raising emotionally mature children. This is the secret to gut health. I'm not sure why my algorithm keeps telling me that this is something that's important to me. These ads keep popping up on the internet. There's something in me that just drives me crazy. I don't like it. Well, sure enough, in our reading today, St. Paul tells us, I have the secret. In every circumstance, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, I have learned the secret. Well, what is it, St. Paul? Tell us. It doesn't seem like he's very forthcoming in letting us know what the secret is. So that drives you even more crazy, right? I've got the secret. Just listen to this 24-hour series and you'll find out. Right. But would you like to know the secret? For example, when your neighbor comes home with a fancy new car, would you like to be unbothered by that? When your coworker is honored and you're not, would you like to be at peace with that? When your investments lose 20% in 1 week, would you like that not to bother you? When you get a distressing diagnosis, would you like to be able to be at equilibrium in your heart? When your friend turns on you, having misinterpreted something that you said or did, would you like to be okay and not thrown into inner turmoil? Would you like to know the secret to living in any circumstance as St. Paul did? I would. The more that we want to know it, the more perhaps we'll set our hearts to seeking the answer. What is the answer? We have a couple other readings that perhaps point us towards how we might be able to live as St. Paul lives, how we might be able to be content no matter what the circumstances of our life end up being. First, in this parable from Jesus, which is about the wedding feast that this king throws for his son. The moral of the story is basically very simple. Accept the king's invitation. And do it not on your own terms, but on his terms. Right? All will be better if you come to the feast. Remember, friends, that this feast Jesus is giving us is a symbol of the life of heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, in heaven, sits on the throne, just like the bride and groom sit in the center of the reception, right? And who is Jesus' bride? It's the church. The church is described as his spotless bride. So all of heaven is a wedding feast, rejoicing that the bride has been prepared and ready to be united to the groom. And you and I have been invited to this feast. Many, in fact, have been invited, but few have chosen to come. This Mass and every Mass is that same participation here and now on earth in that life of heaven. Behold, we say, this is the Lamb of God, the very Lamb that is being adored in heaven. Blessed are those called to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Blessed are we if we accept that invitation. Isaiah is speaking also of this life of heaven, this vision of the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy mountain of God. He says there, God provides for all the needs of His people. Every tear is wiped away. There's no more sadness, no more pain, no more reason to distress. Even death itself, our greatest enemy, has been destroyed. And so what do the people say when they get to heaven? Do they say, "We did it! We won! We are the champions!" No, they say, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us." They realize in heaven, I mean, it does us a lot of good if we realize this now, that it's not about what we are able to do or accomplish. It is about looking to Him, what He is able to do, what He longs to do. He is the one who can save us and the only one. And in heaven, their eyes are fixed on Him. They behold Him. They rejoice that they have placed their trust in the right one, in the right person, in the Savior. And He has now brought them in to that fullness of life where they are at peace forever. Looking to Him is what assured them of the victory. Looking to Him is the source of their joy. So, what is the secret? I don't know. Okay, I don't know exactly what the secret is, but perhaps St. Paul is trying to tell us. He says, "I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and of being in need. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me." For many people, this is a favorite scripture passage. "I can do all things in Him who strengthens me." Notice, in particular, two words: "in Him." Right? St. Paul could have said, "I can do all things for Him who strengthens me." Right? "I'm capable of accomplishing all sorts of things for God and for His glory." He didn't say that. He could have said, "I can do all things with Him." It's a good thing, right? God would rather have us do something, Jesus would rather have us do something with Him than just to say, "I did it for you." And He might say, "Well, it's not exactly what I was asking for, but thank you anyway." With Him. He could have said that. He didn't say that. St. Paul could have said, "I could do all things by Him who strengthens me," right? By the strength that He has given to me. Would make even more sense. He didn't say that. He said, "I can do all things in Him who strengthens me," in Christ. Perhaps these are the two most important words for us to understand Christian spirituality: in Christ, in Him. If we are able to live in Him, not just for Him, not just receiving from Him, but our lives truly united to Him, He living in us and us living in Him, then perhaps we'll be able to know and understand what it is to live in all circumstances. Say yes to this invitation to the wedding feast, not on our own terms, but on His terms. Look to God for our salvation, not to ourselves, and strive to live in Him. Then perhaps we will be able to be at peace no matter what life throws at us, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in.